Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Nice to be with you tonight. A little 27th verse of the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute or Jnana Vijnana Yoga in Sanskrit. Iccha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammohan Sargeyanti Parantapa Iccha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammohan Sarva Sargeyanti Parantapan Iccha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammohan Sargeyanti Parantapan Iccha Desire Dvesha and hate Samuthena arisen from Dvandva of duality Mohena by the illusion Bharata of sign of Bharata Sarva all Bhutani living entities Sammoham into delusion Sarge while taking birth Yanti go Parantapa or conqueror of enemies. Translation. O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the four, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nations think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of honor and dishonor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ichadvesa samuthina dvandva mohina bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the four, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Anjana vandita bujau kanakavadata sankirtanai kavitaro kamalaya taksha visvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palavande jagatriya karo karmavatara. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharini Nirvisheshi Srinavadi Paschata Deshatamini Vanchakau Pataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadhatara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This particular seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita starts describing the process of bhakti together with the main impediments on the way to bhakti. Basically, bhakti means devotion to God. But how you can be devoted to God if you don't see Him? How you can do some service to somebody whom you don't know? And therefore, when Krishna starts explaining the process of devotion, He also explains why people don't know Him. And He's very emphatic about this. He says, nobody knows Me. Vedaham samatita nivartamana nicharjuna pavishyani chabhutani mam tu vedana kaschana. Nobody knows Me. And He says that everyone is deluded. Everyone is complete, total illusion. And in this particular verse, He explains why. What is the reason why we don't see God? Why don't we know God? Why we don't want to know Him? Why we don't understand Him? And together with the reason why we don't understand Him, He gives us the hint how we can get rid of this ignorance or delusion. He basically says, Ichadvesa samuthina dvandva mohina bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. He says, everyone is going right directly into this illusion from the birth. When the little baby is getting born in this world, the first step which he or she makes is into illusion. And what is this illusion? What is the nature of this illusion? What is the substance of this illusion? Krishna says, ich and vesa, desire and hate. This I like, this I don't like. Basically, our conception, how I can be happy in this world. And the little baby which is born, he already knows what he likes and what he doesn't like. If he doesn't like, he cries and makes noise. And he knows better. Nobody will be able to convince him that this is wrong. I know this is bad. Oh, this is good. So, Krishna says, this is exactly the reason why nobody cares about Me. Because everyone is too much absorbed in his own happiness. And this conception of happiness or distress is basically based on this understanding. This I like, this I don't like. You know, even if something which I like comes to me, this is very good. You know, little baby is crawling there. And there is some, you know, crazy things there. And he's so happy, you know. And he can't care less about God. Because to know God means to reject this duality. This is what Bhagavad Gita is all about. Krishna again and again and again repeats the same kind of statement that unless and until you are absorbed in your own happiness or your own distress, unless and until you are totally, completely concentrated on your desires, you will not be able to understand God and you will waste your life. You will more or less repeat the same, you know, good old story which is always there. And this is the tragedy of a living entity. And he says, everyone is born. There's no exception. It makes us, you know, look not so bad. You know, it's kind of reconciliating statement, you know, of the Lord. Everyone is in the same situation. Everyone is more or less of the same caliber. And everyone, there's no exception to this rule. Everyone is very busy trying to be happy in this world. And therefore, nobody knows him. Therefore, nobody understands him. Therefore, nobody cares about him. We're all very much indifferent towards him. Whereas anything else, which is directly related to our understanding of happiness and distress, is very much relevant in our lives. And God is somebody who is really irrelevant. He's really, you know, this is, the further he is, the better it is. Don't bother me. So this indifference is the root cause of all our problems. And this indifference makes us suffer in this material world. Ichha and vesha. And on people, this indifference or duality manifests in so many different ways. Prabhupada, he makes a list of a few of them. Honor and dishonor. You know, and honor and dishonor is something so important for us. Something so totally important. You know, if we look scientifically into honor and dishonor, I mean, it's totally empty things. Just, you know, somebody says something bad about you. Somebody told something really bad about you and you are disturbed for 2 months. How he dared to say this? He told somebody that I am not a pure devotee. How did he dare to say this? You know, this is very... And honor, yeah. That's very nice. You know, somebody honors you. This is your heart melts. The tears come to your eyes because finally somebody knows something true about you. Whereas, I mean, it doesn't make any sense because nothing changes for you. You know, somebody says something bad about you, so what? You know, what changed? What difference does it make? You know, even if he doesn't say it, he will think it anyway, so why should you bother about it? You know, so many people think so many bad things about everyone else. Oh, if somebody, you know, glorifies you or praises you, it's again cheap. It again doesn't mean anything. It usually does not mean nothing. Really nothing. You know, usually, why people glorify you? Yeah, sometimes people do glorify you. But there is only one reason why they do this. Because they want to hear how you glorify them. That's the only reason why they do this. They come to you, they say, you're so nice, and then they listen, no? So, you tell me how I am. This is the society of, you know, mutual fools who are praising each other. You know, people so programmed, they really so dependent on this. You know, please praise me, please say something nice about me, and then I will become happy. Krishna says, this is exactly the reason of all your sufferings. Because in reality, all our sufferings is because we don't know God. Because we cut our connection. By this illusion, we are cutting the connection with the Lord. By this illusion, we are more or less separating ourselves from the Lord. And this separation is the source of all our problems, of all our miseries, of all our sufferings in this world. But still, we are so much dependent on this. Actually, we have to be very clear about it. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna explains to Uddhava the effects of this honor and dishonor, or praise and blame. He says, when it's actually a rule for those people who are trying to understand God, who are trying to practice some spiritual life, who are trying to do something spiritual, they should not criticize anyone and they should not praise anyone. Both is bad, he says, because by this process of criticizing somebody, or by the process of praising somebody, you immerse your mind into duality of this world. And your mind is not able to get out of this swamp of material existence. You're just swamped in it. You're just, you know, you're just there. You're in this mire of material existence and you're really happy in it. And you're just, you know, you cannot get out of that. And therefore Krishna says, you should not do this. You should not criticize, you should not praise. It's really interesting that in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains the story. It's basically a story for the search of pure devotion, which is absolute happiness. When you are beyond this duality and connected with the Lord, as Prabhupada says, you know, we should be connected with the Lord. This connection with the Lord takes us out from this world. It makes us totally immune from the perils of this world. But he starts the description of this search for pure devotion. And it's a long search. While describing a little story, or many stories actually, but the first story is about the devotion which is not pure. And there are so many stories about the devotion which is not exactly pure. But he starts with a very interesting example. He says that there were sages, no devotees, who came to Prayag. And Prayag is the best place. This is Tirtharaj, the best holy place. And they came at the best time, in the month of Magh. And they took bus in the confluence of three rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati. And they're sitting and they're praising each other. Oh, how good you are, you did this very great pious activity. Taking, you are in the right place, in the right time, doing the right activity. And in his Digdarshani commentary, Sanatana Goswami says, why they do this? Because they want to hear how. Because basically they're glorifying themselves. You know, you are here in the right place, doing the right thing, and I'm also here, in the right place, doing the right thing. And that's what exactly we see sometimes among those who are so-called devotees or practice spiritual life. You know, they come together to support each other. You know, oh, you're so nice, you're doing this. But basically they're saying, I'm so nice because I'm also doing this. You know, this is, sometimes people come on the basis of this, which is completely contrary to the very essence of devotion. Because devotion means selflessness. Devotion means you don't expect anything in return. And by this simple attitude, you're immediately beyond this duality. Devotion is transcendental from the very beginning. Because devotion means you want to worship Lord because of Himself, of the Lord Himself. You don't want anything in return from Him. You don't want to be praised, you don't want to get anything. You're not selfish in any way. And therefore you are beyond all these things. Whereas when we are programmed by this world or attached to this so-called pleasures of this world, we remain the slaves. Devotion means freedom. If somebody is totally free from this dependence on the happiness of this world, he's free. Whereas if he's dependent on this, he's a slave. There is a very nice story about Lord Buddha in this regard. It's a very interesting story. So once Lord Buddha came to a village, and in this village lived one man, and Lord Buddha was preaching very, very strongly. You know, he had his message to get across. And, you know, there was one man who really hated it, who really, really didn't like it. And usually there is somebody like this, who doesn't like it. I know when you give some public lecture and you look at the faces of people, you know, you see somebody is really disturbed. You know, is really disturbed. You try to appease him this way, and he's disturbed anyway. he doesn't like it. So this man, he didn't like how Lord Buddha preached, and Lord Buddha stayed there for a few days. And this man came to him at one point and spat at him. Really spat at him. And he already knew what he's supposed to do when, you know, after the reaction of Lord Buddha. But Lord Buddha, he did it like this, and he said, "Do you want to say something else to me?" And the man was taken, you know, he really didn't expect this. He already knew how he will, you know, he knew how, but he was totally disarmed by this attitude of Lord Buddha. He just, you know, he looked at him, and he went home. And he started thinking about this episode, what happened to Lord Buddha. And he kind of appreciated the attitude. He said, "This man is special. This man is not ordinary man. Maybe I'm wrong." So next day he made a nice garland. And he came to Lord Buddha. And he was really happy, and he came to Lord Buddha and he said, "My dear Lord, I want to give you this garland." And Lord Buddha said, "Okay, that's fine. Do you want to say something else to me?" He said, "First of all, I'm not saying anything to you. I'm just spitting at you or giving you garland. Why do you say if I want to say?" He said, "No, you told me much. You told me a lot. In the beginning you told me you don't like me, now you know," he said, "Yeah, that's okay." But he said, "Can I ask you one question? You know, I spat at you and you didn't get angry. Why? And today I gave you a garland and you didn't become happy. Why?" Lord Buddha looked at him and he said, "Because I'm not your slave. That's why." He said, "You wanted me to react in a certain way, and why should I react in this way? I'm not a robot, you know. You wanted to push the button and create an anger in me. I didn't become. Why should I? And today you wanted to push another button, and you gave me a garland. But I'm not your slave. I'm not a robot. I'm free. My reactions or my emotions, my being, I'm free. You know, I want to be free." And that's this little story shows how this duality of hatred and desire, Ichha Dvesha Samudrina Dvandva Mohina Bharata, how this duality really makes us slaves. How we become slaves of this world. We become dependent on this world. We become dependent on our petty, useless understanding of what is good, what is bad. And in this way, we live our life quite uselessly. You know, this is good. Yeah, this is so good. This is so good. This is so good. And this is bad. This is so bad. This is so bad. This is so bad. And the very sad think about it is that nobody wants to get rid of it. Nobody wants. Nobody wants to go beyond this understanding, because everyone thinks that this is the essence of life. What will I do if I go beyond? You know, I will be like Lord Buddha. You know, somebody spits at me and I don't react. You know, what is the fun? Somebody praises me and I don't react. What is the fun? How will I live? But in this way, what happens? We deprive ourselves from the happiness which is coming from the soul. The happiness is there. It's achievable. It's available. It's there for us. But we don't want it. We still want to remain, you know, from the very birth we went into this delusion, and we want to remain in this delusion. We don't want to get out of this delusion. We say, "That's fine. That's what I am." And because of this, and of course, you know, so many dualities are there. You know, so many different juicy things in this world are there. Prabhupada says, honor and dishonor, man and woman. This is another very nice duality of this world. It's so nice. He said, you know, it's a typical Hare Krishna temple. And usually the hallmark of Hare Krishna temple is that there is a lot of shoes in front of it. You know. If you want to know where is Hare Krishna temple, thank you very much. You know, if there is a lot of shoes somewhere, it's a good sign that this is a Hare Krishna temple. So he said, I was coming out from the temple. And he said, I saw a little small shoes of a lady. And he said, my mind becomes so attracted. I said, you know, how small it is. So nice. Because usually men have big shoes. So he looked at this small, cute shoes and he said, oh, this is very nice. And he noticed this attraction in the mind, which is absolutely ridiculous, you know. Why, you know, what's so special about it? But because it's different. Because it's something really different, it really, you know, it intrigues you. This is something different, you know. So nice, so small. So this is again the same kind of, the symptom of the same disease. The disease of our absorption in this duality of this world. We are so absorbed in the duality of this world, and we, because of this, we have no time. Because of this, we have no interest. Because of this, we have no desire to come closer to the Lord. And this is the problem which Krishna explains very beautifully in this world. He said everyone is born into this delusion. Everyone is programmed. And this is from our past karma. Visichandvesa or Agandvesa, speaking in terms of Yoga Sutra of Patanjali Muni, it's a manifestation of our past karma. You know, we are more or less lived certain life, we experience something, and these experiences, they are classified in our consciousness as something good and something bad. Whatever we experienced, whatever impressions we had, whatever... everyone is not happy because of this. How to get rid of this? What to do? Because we need some practical solution to this problem. The problem is severe. We cannot get out of this problem by our own endeavors. Because Krishna says everyone is in this delusion, you know. You can't do anything about it. He gives a very interesting solution to this. And please listen very carefully because it is interesting. For a long time I was puzzled by the solution which Krishna gives. He says in the next verse, it's a famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yasam Tvanta Gatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Tedvandva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dridavrata. He says that there are some people who can get rid of this illusion, of this dvandva, of this duality. How you get rid of this duality? He gives, from the superficial point of view, very strange or very kind of not satisfactory solution. He says, Yasam Tvanta Gatam Papam, you have to get rid of your pap, of your sins. This is the superficial understanding of the next verse, which is supposedly to be the solution. So basically what Krishna says, at least from the first view, he says, you know, I know your problem. You're programmed to sin in a certain way. You have certain desires. You have certain hatreds, certain idiosyncrasies or whatever. So stop it. Yasam Tvanta Gatam Papam. You just should stop all this sinful life, all this nonsense, and then you will come to me. So, is it a good solution? It's not a very good solution. Because who can do this? You know, our karma is so strong. And even Arjuna himself admits this. He says that there is this, you know, force which pushes me, and I don't know what is this force. And we expect something with, you know, bated breath, that now Krishna describes us or tells us something practical, but just to tell us stop it is not a solution, because who can stop it? You know, this the motion of our karma is so strong. You know, it's practically impossible to stop it, because we always, you know, give some more power to it. We always work according to our previous karma, and it goes on and on and on. And in one sense, the solution which Krishna gives is something like, you know, you go to Himalayas and you go to a cave and try to get rid of all these temptations of this world and try to be happy in the cave. You know, you try it. It probably won't work for a long time. You know, you may try it, but it doesn't work. So, because he says, and how you do it? Punya karmanam. You do some punya. And punya means some pious activity. You try to counteract the tendencies which you have within your heart by some pious activities. But again, this doesn't work. This is not a solution. First of all, because by doing punya, you just change these dualities into this papa and punya. And this is again the manifestation of the same problem. It just doesn't work. The solution which Krishna gives doesn't make any sense. So Baladev Vidyabhushan, he explains, and Prabhupada actually follows Baladev Vidyabhushan, as everywhere in Bhagavad Gita. His Bhagavad Gita is dedicated to Baladev Vidyabhushan, and he more or less closely follows him. And Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a very beautiful explanation of this verse. Very essential explanation. He says that punya karmanam, which Krishna recommends as the remedy, as the medicine against this deadly disease of our attachment to duality, of our attachment to our petty happiness and distress. The solution for this is this punya karmanam, but he says punya means pleasing. Punya karmana means the activity which is pleasing. And he explained this verse. Again, it doesn't make immediate sense. What does it mean? You should do not just punya, but something which is pleasing. Pleasing to whom? And Prabhupada gives the solution. He says, following Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says, the solution or remedy from this problem is to do something pleasing to a pure devotee. This is your way out of this material world, or your absorption towards your own, you know, conception of happiness and distress or miseries. If you want to get rid of it, there is only one solution. And he quotes, Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes Srimad Bhagavatam for this. He says that the pure devotees, they come to this world for just one single most important purpose. There is only one purpose where they come. They come to give other people a chance to serve them. Because when other people will serve them, they will experience some happiness which is beyond the happiness of this material world. And this happiness will give them, you know, this will be saving grace for them. This will give them something extremely important in life. Some experience which will take them beyond their karmic experience or samsaric experience here. This is the point of this next verse, Yasham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam. He says, if somebody happens to do something which is pleasing to a pure devotee, and pure devotee is pleased with him, then his devotional life starts. Prabhupada was very expert in this. And this is actually the statement from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, and there was a nice story, when Prabhupada came to London, and he was walking with his followers and devotees, disciples, early in the morning for morning walk in a Buri place. It's a very, you know, formal place, and, you know, English people, they're very, you know, they're very formal people. And Prabhupada, when he was walking, you know, he would meet some Englishmen in the morning, English gentlemen. And Prabhupada would tell him, good morning, good morning. And they couldn't understand why Guru Maharaj is saying this mundane greeting to these people. Why doesn't he say, Hare Krishna? Because sometimes we're so, you know, fanatical. Why he's saying good morning? What is this mundane kind of things? So ultimately somebody dared to ask Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, can you explain to us why you say good morning to this karmis? Prabhupada says, because when I tell them good morning, they will tell good morning to me. And because they will tell good morning to me, it means that they're wishing something good to me. And this will be good for them. That's why I tell good morning to them. So that they would tell something good to me. This is the beginning. This is the start. This is how actually this Krishna consciousness movement is being spread and was spread when Prabhupada was here. And, you know, because when we meet somebody you know, if somebody is doing something good, you know, Prabhupada, and there is this famous story in Prabhupada Lilamrita, how once Prabhupada was giving lecture, and one totally, completely drunkard person from Bauri, you know, just kind of made it into the... And Prabhupada was saying, you know, everyone wants to serve. That was his point of the lecture. Everyone, the service is the main thing. Everyone, the nature of every living being, the nature of every soul is to serve. So this drunkard person comes, and he goes directly to the toilet. You know, and he has a roll of toilet paper, and he puts it there. And he says, well, bye-bye. He walks away. Prabhupada says, look, I told you, everyone wants to serve. This man just proved it, you know. He came here and just gave something. And he says, this is how devotional service starts. You know, the devotional service, everyone anyway serves. We cannot avoid this. We will serve, because if we don't serve, we are totally bored. You know, if we don't have anyone to serve to, we will just commit suicide. It's the most miserable condition. And then our head pujari lives in Moscow, lives in a flat. And he says that underneath my flat, there is a lady, she's a single lady, and she has 8 dogs. 8 dogs in the same flat, they're living together. And she says the love and the service attitude which they have towards each other is unparalleled. You know, I'm not serving the deities so devotedly as she serves the dogs. She says they love each other so much. You know, she says when she goes out, the dogs, they cry there. And when she comes, they're so happy, they jump and then they go and this and that. So they serve. But what is the use of this service? Do they get something from this service? Nothing. You know, she probably will become a dog in the next life. And maybe the dogs will become the lonely ladies. But they will exchange the roles. But ultimately, we anyway have to serve. We anyway serving. This is the nature of the soul. We are here to serve others. This is the pleasure which we get. But if we only serve mundane people, then our service has very little value. It doesn't have so much value. It gives us some satisfaction, some happiness. It does bring us some good emotions. But ultimately, the service which has a very tremendous meaning in our life is the service to devotees. It's the service, especially service to pure devotee. Because when we serve a pure devotee, something really unusual happens within our heart. Because when the pure devotee becomes pleased with us, as Krishna himself says this, punya karmana, if you do some pleasing activity which really pleases a pure devotee, then God becomes pleased with us. God cannot withstand. He cannot really resist. He will have to become pleased with us. I will tell one more story from Chaitanya Charitamrita when I finish the class, because I don't want to go too late. It's interesting how Raghunath Das Goswami was saved. Recently I was in Panihati festival, which is celebrating this episode from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born with a silver spoon. He was so rich and so happy, and he has beautiful wife, loving parents, you know, extremely rich, but he didn't like it. But the problem is that he couldn't get rid of his karma. His karma was chasing him. He was trying to run away to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but his father inevitably would caught him, would catch him and bring him back. And his mother would say, you know, you just put chains upon on him, you know, our son, our beloved son, he has to be with us. You know, so he was in this situation, he was trying to get rid of this karma, which was very heavy. And karma, no matter, you know, what it is, it may be superficially very nice, but it's still karma. It's still slavery. So he was a slave. So he came to Lord Chaitanya and he asked Lord Chaitanya, how I can solve this problem? What should I do? And Lord Chaitanya said, you go to Lord Nityananda. He will tell you. Don't be crazy. Don't try to do it artificially. Go to Lord Nityananda. And Raghunath Das comes to Lord Nityananda, who is sitting there. And Lord Nityananda sees him and he says, you're a thief. You're a thief. He says, because you are doing wrong things. You're trying to solve your problem. You understand you have a problem. At least you understand this. But you're trying to solve your problem in the wrong way. And, you know, this is his greeting. You're a thief. And he says, now what do you have to do? And he gives a solution. He says, you feed all these Vaishnavas. Everyone. You know, you give them some nice food. You give them, and in this way you get the mercy of the Lord. And the solution, the shackles which you have, will be released. You will have no chains anymore. You will be free from all this. And the Panihati festival takes place, and Raghunath Das Goswami, he brings everything, you know, he feeds everyone, and everyone is happy, and everyone is saying, you know, so nice, so nice, so nice, so nice. And, you know, a few days later, he's free. He's there. He's running. And his father cannot do anything. You know, because, you know, he knew where he went. He just cannot do anything because he's free. Because the Lord is pleased with him. Why he is pleased with him? Because he pleased the devotees. Because he did something good for the devotees. Because he fed them. Because he was serving them. And by serving them, he got release, got free from the shackles of duality of karma. So this is a very important kind of lesson which is there in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna explains the cause of our bondage, the cause of our slavery in this world, our total complete dependence on our karma, and how difficult it is to, you know, to stop this process. And then he gives a very beautiful solution to this. He says, you know, you can solve this problem if you try to please the devotees. Then the pap, the sin or sinful habits, will have no power to push you anymore. It will lose the power. It will become totally powerless to control you, and you become free from this bondage. Okay, thank you very much. Maybe there is some questions. Yes.
This you said about to praise even devotees. Sometimes I see that when devotee is really going through this difficult time and still doing devotional service nicely, so it's also nice to praise them.
It's nice to praise, it's nice to appreciate, definitely, there is no doubt about it. But we have to be careful about it also. If somebody is doing devotional service, we should praise them, but we should be careful about praising them in front of themselves. We should be very generous when we praise devotees behind their back. As generous as we are criticizing them behind their back. But we should feel totally free and unrestricted to glorify the devotees when they're not present. when they are present, we should be a little careful about it, because it may not necessarily be good. It's embarrassing also to do it, and it actually gets into your system. It's kind of poisonous. You get used to it, and you try again to find some juice in this. So sometimes when devotee is going through a difficult time, you have to appreciate it. But you know, appreciation and praise is not necessarily the same. Usually when we praise, we overdo it. And in Sanskrit, it is one of the offenses which you can do. It is called in Sanskrit atistuti ninda. It's ninda. Ninda means offense. Atistuti means when you're too much praising somebody. So, and we have to really understand our motivation behind what we do. If we do to help them, that's fine. If we do to hear the praise in return, that's not fine. That's not good. And usually, unfortunately, this is, at least it's often the case, the motivation which we do, you know, we're praising them, and then they're very, very careful, we listen, we want to listen something in return, some nectar. So, that's the danger which is there. Because, you know, if we do this, then again our consciousness is absorbed into this material kind of. Other questions?
Maharaj, yes? So I wondered then how to develop relationships in this world. Because if you say, I want to be selfless, so I want to show actually too much appreciation or too much contempt, if you just remain blank.
No, appreciation we should have. Appreciation we should have. More or less, moreover, we have to have very strong service attitude. The best way to develop relationship is to serve somebody. Why mother has such a strong relationship with the son? Because she selflessly served the son for so many years. Just to hear how bad she is from the son. Anyway, she has the strong relationship because of the service. If we want strong relationship, we have to serve others. The relationship, relationship do not develop because we are more or less absorbed in our own name, fame and glory. Because we are too much absorbed in our own interest, therefore we are basically we're using colors. But when we start serving colors, giving them something, then naturally relationship develop. And Rupa Goswami explains this, you know, how you develop relationship. You just give. What do you give? Whatever you have, you give. Some, you know, you give some gifts and you receive some gifts, or you give some prasad and you receive some prasadam, or you give something which is very deeply within your heart, and you reveal something. This is the way how the relationship develops. We are not in person in this, but we should not be dependent. What the point which Krishna is making here? We should not be dependent on the duality of this world. Our relationship should be beyond the duality of this world. Usually, our relationship is within the duality. We hate somebody, and usually somebody whom we hate very soon becomes our best friend, and then he becomes our worst enemy. You know, it's usually the worst enemies are our former best friends, right? That's going on in this material world. This is the story. It is actually in Niti Shastra, it is said, it's a very important instruction. It said, if somebody is your enemy, don't criticize him too much. And if somebody is your friend, don't praise him too much, because very soon your enemy may become your friend, and your friend may become your enemy. You know, it is said that from the material point of view, don't tell don't reveal your secrets to your friend, because he may become your enemy very soon. And don't criticize your enemy, because he may become your friend again very soon. So this is what is going on. No, and there is a saying in Russian, I don't know if there is such saying in Dutch or in English, about children, you know, not about children, you know. If somebody is laughing too much, it means that very soon he will be, what?
Crying
too much. You know, when the children, start laughing, sometimes they become really out of control. You know, usually you have to tell them, stop it, because very soon they will become crying. Why? Because the mind working. Why? Mind is like this, you know, it's black and white. It goes from one extreme into another extreme, because the mind is programmed to be in this duality. This desire and hate is the, primordial difficulty which we have. And everything else which we have is the manifestation of the same problem. You know, in different ways, you know, the suffering and happiness, or, you know, crying and laughing, it's all the same. You know. So we have to try to develop relationship and a platform which is beyond this programming. You know, the mind is working like a computer. And you know, the computer basically has the basis, the foundation of computer is that it has two things, right? Zero and one. There is only two things. Zero and one. Either zero or one. Zero and one. And everything else is, you know, the computer may do so many complicated things and do so many interesting things, but the foundation of this is zero and one. Desire and hate. This I like, this I don't like. So, in the same way, the computer of our brain works. There is this original kind of zero and original one. One is something which we like, zero is something which we don't like. And, you know, all our complicated psychological reactions is basically has these two things behind it. You go to psychologist starts, you know, trying to, you know, show you how difficult it is, and say, oh my goodness, how complicated. It's not complicated, it's very simple. Krishna says, you're just born into this simple, crazy situation, which is desire and hate. Nothing else. And instead of trying to solve these problems through these artificial psychological things, you will never solve this. Just go beyond it. Just try to go beyond it. How to go beyond it? Just try to develop relationship with somebody who is beyond it. And then you will go beyond it. There is no questions. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. It's very nice to be with you tonight. It's such a warm atmosphere. Even though the summer is not very warm. It's still quite warm here. And it's very rare too. It's not so common in this world when people come and listen about Krishna, about deep solutions which Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.